Get your Bible out, if you will. We're going to study again the topic of separation tonight. I want you to turn, if you will, to Deuteronomy chapter 22. Deuteronomy chapter 22. What we're going to do is we're going to read one verse from Deuteronomy 22, and then we're going to be turning to another verse in the New Testament in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. This lesson is going to be in two parts, and tonight will be the first part. So Deuteronomy 22, would you stand with me real quickly? Deuteronomy 22, and we're going to use one verse here, and then I'll take you to a New Testament passage of Scripture that is probably referring back to Deuteronomy 22:10. The Bible says this, "Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together." That's an Old Testament command that God gave. Now, while you're right there, I want you to go to the New Testament and turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Once you find 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to find verse number 14. And I'm going to read to you from verse 14 all the way through the end of the chapter. 2 Corinthians 6, starting with verse 14, and it says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? What agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And let's pray. Father, bless us now. The lesson is simple, and I think somewhat short tonight, but might it lay a good foundation for the continuation of our teaching on this important subject of separation. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you that it's easy to understand. And thank you, Father, that your Holy Spirit gives us clarity and guidance through the Scripture. Now, protect us from the evil one and help us to glorify the Holy One in what's done in this place this night, please. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there, if you will. If you were listening in Deuteronomy 22:10, it was talking, I'll read it to you again. It says, "Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together." More than likely, that verse is what God is talking about when he gets to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, where he said, "Be ye not unequally yoked." Now, these verses here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, they're very often used by any church that talks about separation from the world. They're referred to a lot. We're not to be unequally yoked. Now, remember, we're not to be isolated from the world, but we are to be insulated from becoming worldly. We're to be in the world, but we're not to be of the world. It's okay to be a ship in the world's ocean. We're just not to have its water inside our ship. And that's the difference. God uses a very easy illustration here to teach us a truth about this thing called being unequally yoked. In the scripture that he gives us, he's actually giving us a farming illustration. I love God's illustrations. He makes them so easy. The prodigal son's about a lost son, and there's somebody that lost a sheep and somebody that lost a coin. God uses a candle as an example, and God uses bread, and I love it when he uses food as an example. And here he is using a farming illustration to talk about the unequal yoke. He's talking about a yoke that is used on a farm for animals, as they would then be used to pull a plow or a wagon. And I'm going to talk about the unequal yoke for the entire lesson tonight. Now, let me, as a part of the introduction, tell you, if you don't already know, the yoke, if you've ever seen maybe a picture in a dictionary or an encyclopedia or maybe on television somewhere, you would see an old-fashioned harness where they would take two animals, they would connect them together, And then that way that they could pull a plow. And there was actually something that they would put around their neck. So each animal would end up it's called a yoke. And that yoke would connect the two of them together. And that way they could hook up a plow or a wagon behind it. And the yoke would connect that plow or wagon to the yoke. And the two animals would pull in that yoke. Now, that's what it's talking about here. And God is saying, you and I, as Christians, we are not to be unequally yoked. And it comes from that Old Testament teaching. God didn't want different species of animals in a yoke with each other. Now, I'm going to become, I don't think I ever become real complicated, but I'm going to be very, very, very simple tonight. But I want you to get the concept of the unequal yoke. Let me start out with this thing. Number one, what is the yoke? What is the yoke? Well, in Luke 14, verse 19, it said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. Once again, there is the yoke in reference to farm animals. When we were in Deuteronomy 22:10, it was about farm animals. And God is trying to make it simple for you and I to understand. Now, so you all know, when God uses a farming term, there was a time in society when more people lived rurally than lived in cities. It's not that way so much anymore because of the big cities and people left the rural or the farm life and came to the city. But when God was talking about the unequal yoke, there might be some city people now say, well, what's that? But there were not any farming people that didn't understand that. And when he was teaching it, he was using an illustration that would reach a mass of people. Because everybody basically was involved in the farm life, if you will. Now, the yoke was the harness that joined two animals together side by side. The word yoke comes actually from a Greek word, zugos, and it means something that serves to couple two things together. Now, you've heard me say this before, and I'll say it again. You don't have to have the Greek to understand the Bible. The English language, the King James Bible, is fine. The Greek serves a little like a dictionary. It might just help you to understand a word a little bit better. But it means it's something that couples two things together. A yoke held two oxen together. A yoke is in its defining, it's like a bridge that connects two sides. We've got this big bridge, and we are in James City, and the other side of the bridge is a part of New Bern. We're all a part of New Bern, but they call this side of the bridge James City, and they would give that a more specific New Bern address. But we've got a bridge that connects us. And so that bridge, to some degree, is like a yoke. It's connected the two bodies of land together. A yoke could be a physical connection between two things. A yoke could be a verbal connection between two things, like a promise or an oath. For instance, on this platform last Friday night, two of our finest young people, they yoked together with verbal attachment, with verbal commitment. They said vows on the platform that yoked them together, that tied them together, that harnessed them together. Now they're going to pull in life together to go out and succeed. So a yoke, it's a link between two things. It's a connector. It's a way to unite two things, like a coupling. So, point number one, what is the yoke? And I've tried to describe that to you. Number two, what is meant by the word unequal? Unequal. In 2 Corinthians 6:14, it said, be ye not unequally yoked together. Unequal means Don't pull together with something that's unsimilar or unalike, or don't find yourself mismatched. It comes, again, from a Greek word, heteros, which means don't connect with things of a different sort. Deuteronomy 22:10 says, we read it earlier, thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Why? They are totally different. So you all know, if you studied Jewish law in that day, it was strictly forbidden for someone to plow with the ox and the ass. They were not to do it. It was virtually against their law to do it. And by the way, so you know, God is saying to the Christian, there is virtually a scriptural concept, if you will, that you should not be plowing with someone or something that is a mismatch for a Christian. So we're talking about the word unequal. Unequal is not just good not being like bad or bad not being like good. Unequal are two things that are totally different. I think you all know, a cow and a donkey are not the same. He could have said, don't plow with a hippopotamus and a giraffe. But to the Jewish people, he might as well have said a hippopotamus and a giraffe, because it was such a mandated thing that the ox and the ass not be put in a yoke together. He could have said, don't try to plow and yoke together a cat and a dog, or a Democrat and a Republican, because they're so different. They're vastly different. So when he says unequal, he's talking about things that are vastly different. Unequal are things that do not belong together. And so you all know, the unequal yoke is not in your perception, but in his perception. Unequal are things that don't belong together. Have you ever heard anyone say, things that are different are not the same? And that's true. Things that are different are not the same. I had somebody recently say to me, I said, well, I believe the King James Bible is the pure word of God for English-speaking people. And they said, so do I, but I think they're all good. I said, well, they're not the same. Oh, they're all the word of God. I said, I am very sorry. And I said, things that are different are not the same. And it went right over their head. I would not recommend that you try to plow yoking a sheep and a wolf. Doesn't seem like it would work. Jehoshaphat and Ahab yoked up together to fight a common enemy, but it was an unequal yoke in God's eyes, and it did not end in victory, but it ended in defeat. Now, this will probably bother some of you, but I'm not planning on going down to the Catholic Church and hold hands with the priest, ever, so we can fight abortion together. I'll fight it independently, and I'll be glad they fought it, but I won't yoke up with them, because we're not the same. Samson, a Christian, yoked up with Delilah, a non-Christian, and this was a terrible sin of wrongly marrying on Samson's part. Say, what did it cost him? His sight, captivity, and eventually death. The Bible's very clear. A Christian young person should not be dating a lost person. And so you know, Samson's issue started in his dating life, and then evolved far further into life. So, what is meant by unequal? Unequal means unmatched. Unequal means ununiform. Unequal means unsimilar, unalike, mismatched. It actually means two things that are different, don't go together. He said, I don't want you to plow with an ox and an ass. And remember, he might as well have said a hippopotamus and a giraffe. He said, "What? But that would be ridiculous. The hippopotamus is short and fat, and the giraffe is tall and skinny. How would you even get the yoke going? I think God's trying to figure out how some of you yoke up with some of the yahoos you do. He's saying, how do you do that? How do you get yourself connected to that kind of junk? It ought to be obvious to you these two things don't go together because things that are different are not the same.
Right.
So, what is the yoke? I explained it. What is meant by the unequal yoke? I've explained it. Number three, we're told that the unequal yoke is forbidden for the Christian. It's forbidden. 2 Corinthians, if you were looking there, when we read 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, it said, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. Now, he said the word unbeliever, which that makes it clear who he was talking to then. What's the opposite of unbeliever? Believer. So he's saying, saved, don't yoke up with lost. So, but I want you to understand, the unequal yoke is forbidden by God in regard to the Christian. He used the words, be ye not. This is a commandment of God. It's not a light suggestion. It's a commandment. Be ye not sounds like the same kind of wording that's used in Exodus for the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Be ye not. Thou shalt not. Be ye not. Thou shalt not. Wow. That's not real hard to understand. It's a command. In other words, God's saying, don't do this. If you're doing it, it should be stopped. And if it's not right for you to do, then it would not be right for you to encourage others to do. So we're told that the unequal yoke is forbidden for the Christian. He said in verse number 17 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 6, he said, be ye separate. What's that mean? It means don't yoke up. Don't yoke up. In 1 Thessalonians 5:22, he said, abstain from all appearance of evil, which means no yoke, even in appearance. He's saying, I don't want you to yoke up, even in appearance. Psalm 37:27 says, depart from evil, which means don't be yoked up to evil. So, what is the yoke? It's something that connects two things. What is meant by unequal? It means things that are different. Then, he said, I forbid that yoke. Number four, God emphasizes his command of separation or this command of no yoking. And from God's perspective and from God's view, he emphasizes the command of separation with some absurd examples. And you'll understand what I mean by that when this begins to unfold. Some absurd examples here in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. God says, he starts to read, and let me read it to you again so it's fresh in our minds. He says, be ye not equally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? Okay, he is giving us some absurd examples as he's trying to drive home the don't do this teaching about the unequal yoke, which is actually, in essence, a teaching on separation from the things that we're not to be connected to. So, he says, believers and unbelievers. And he's saying, There shouldn't be that intimate connection. He says righteousness and unrighteousness. He said light and dark. He said Christ and Belial. Belial was a false god. The temple of God and idols or false temples. So he makes five absurd examples. Remember, the teaching is they were told emphatically, dogmatically, you do not yoke up an ox with an ass. You do not yoke up a hippopotamus with a giraffe. And he said, let me make it real clear, as ridiculous as the ox and ass is the believer and the unbeliever, and righteousness and unrighteousness, and light and darkness, and Christ and Belial, and the true temple of God, and idols. Notice God's use of extreme opposites to drive home the importance of separation or no yoke. Don't yoke up. God uses examples of things that are totally, in his mind, incompatible. They don't go together. They're of a totally different sort. I mean, light and dark, they can't even exist around each other, right? Where light is, darkness is not. And where true darkness is, light is not. Christ and a false god, do they belong in the same yoke? Not at all. Hey, and let me tell you all something. God is a jealous God, and he wants to be on the top of your list with everything. And he deserves that. He then actually presents a rhetorical question about these outrageous and ridiculous mismatching yokes that he describes. What's rhetorical mean? It means it's exaggerated, it's inflated, it's bombastic. In other words, he's saying, I'm going to show you these total outrageous opposites. Now he's about to expand on these total ridiculous opposites. He said, and he's about to even take this thing bigger in our thinking. And he said, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, he's not asking you to try to figure out a way to justify a connection between righteousness and unrighteousness. He is saying, surely you see this. I mean, you know that the ox and the ass are not to be connected. Now, I'm going to give you some other outrageous things that should not be connected, and surely you see this. That's why he says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? He's being rhetorical. He's exaggerating to an extreme to drive home what he says, two things that should not be yoked together. In other words, when he asks what fellowship hath, he is saying we should easily make the mental conclusion that the unequal yoke or lack of separation is ridiculously and outrageously and absolutely absurd. Let me show you the contrasts that he uses, the outrageous examples. He says believers and unbelievers. Well, let's see how different those two things are in God's eyes. Final destiny, heaven and hell, total opposites. Who's in hell? Satan. Who's in heaven? Jesus. What's in hell? Bad. What's in heaven? Righteousness. I mean, he's saying, this is obvious. God is saying, this is so obvious to me. Let's look at another contrast that he uses to drive home the ridiculousness of our yoking up wrong. He talks about righteousness and unrighteousness. Now, to God, that's black and white. It's a part of the contrast. It's a part of the rhetorical question that he's asking. What fellowship hath believers and unbelievers and righteousness and unrighteousness? Then he goes to light and darkness. You know that light expels darkness. And he again, he's just being exaggerated and inflated, and he's asking this question, but he's saying, surely you see the ridiculousness of yoking up with these things that are totally different. So he said believers and unbelievers, that's a contrast. Righteousness and unrighteousness, that's a contrast. Light and darkness, that's a contrast. Then he says Christ and Satan. He said, just in case you're not getting it, he said Christ and Satan in verse number 15. Those are exact opposites. They are exact opposites. One is holy, one is evil. One will spend eternity in hell, the other in heaven. One loves, one hates. One's good, one's bad. Then he said, the fifth contrast is God and idols in verse number 16, which again are diametrically opposed forces. He's saying these things are extremely obvious to anyone with their eyes open at all. So God emphasizes his command of the unequal yoke, or God emphasizes separation with some absurd examples and some incredible contrasts, and he even adds a rhetorical question about it, which is actually saying to you, surely you're not so blind and so spiritually dumb you don't see this. That doesn't speak well for the people that don't go for separation, does it? Did you know that there's two kinds of salvation taught? Salvation by grace through faith, and then all the others, which are works. Totally contrasting. There is a right doctrine of salvation, and all the others, somebody says, well, I believe you get saved by grace and baptism. That's works then. It's not and anything. And you know, if somebody teaches you can lose your salvation, do you understand that meant you had to work to get it? That's work salvation then, in essence. I don't yoke up with churches that believe you'll lose your salvation because I need to be, we're totally different. We're on the total opposite end of the spectrum. So, I said, number one, what is the yoke? And we found out it's something that bridges two things together. It either connects them physically, or it connects them emotionally, or connects them verbally. Then what is meant by unequal? It means two things that are different, are not the same, therefore they shouldn't be united. Unequal means unmatched, or ununiformed, or mismatched, or unalike, or unsimilar. Then we are told that the unequal yoke is forbidden. It's not just a suggestion. The wording is almost identical to the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. And he said, be ye not unequal yoke. I said, number four, God emphasizes his command of separation with absurd examples and a rhetorical question to drive home the bigness of the difference of these two things. Number five, he gives us five reasons for no yoke, or he gives us five reasons for separation, and they're all taught in these five rhetorical or exaggerated questions, and don't panic, these won't take very long. There's only 6 points in my outline. We're point number five. There are five little things that God says about 2 Corinthians chapter 6 as he's teaching us about separation. It's a part of these exaggerated, outrageous contrasts. And so, number five, he gives us five reasons or five areas of separation that are taught in these exaggerated questions. Let me show you. If you have your Bible open there to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, it will help you just to glance at these. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, I want you to look at verse number 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 14. You know, I think this, while you're turning, I think there are a lot of Christians, especially Christians that are old-time religion, they refer to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 often. I think tonight's study will be very good for you. It'd be good for you to understand some verses that you rely on a lot. I think there are a lot of people that say, oh, we're not to be unequally yoked. Well, it's a good thing to understand what that actually means. 2 Corinthians 6:14, now we're about to look at a little more intensely at the wording here. Verse number 14, it says, and be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, look back at me, if you will. He says, what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? Now, let's take a look at the word fellowship. Fellowship means it's an intimate, close partnership. The word fellowship actually is a shared purpose. That's about as close as you're going to find to the definition of friendship. The Bible's saying you should not be unequally yoked in friendship with people that are not like you. And really, that means like Christ. Because some of you, all your friendships, your friends are like you. They do cuss and they do lie. But what he's saying here is you, as a Christian, in friendship are not to be unequally yoked. That's that fellowship. You know, let's face it, homecoming is September 16. A little part of homecoming is sitting around eating and fellowshipping with your enemies. No, your friends. Your friends. That's what it is. And he's saying here, what fellowship, what friendship, if you will, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? He is teaching separation in friendships. I suppose, is it Facebook where you have friends? I guess you want to make sure you're doing that scripturally. Okay, now let's go on to verse number 14 again. He goes on, he says, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And now here's another comparison. And what communion hath light with darkness? Remember, there were five rhetorical, outlandish questions being asked. Now he's defining even more those questions. Fellowship is akin to our word friendship. Now the word communion. He says, what communion hath light and darkness? And remember, there's that contrast, communion. What is that? That is an intimate union. I said, if you, Caleb, and you, Elizabeth, have freely and deliberately chosen each other as partners for life, would you please join your right hands? And what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. What is that? That's union. That is the holiest of union between a man and a woman. It's marriage. There is a holy communion. The word communion, it's an intimate union between two people. So, when he says what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, he's talking about you shouldn't be unequally yoked in your friendships. When he talks about what communion hath light with darkness, I really believe he's talking about there should not be unequal yoke in your marriage. Now, so you all know, next week we're going to have part two. And I'm going to take the unequal yoke and break it down even further to show you some things. But let's go on. Let's go on with these contrasts. We've seen contrast number one, righteousness and unrighteousness. He uses the word fellowship there. Then we go in verse 14. We see the contrast between light and darkness. He uses the word communion there, which is akin to marriage. It's that intimate relationship. Now, we go to verse number 15, and he said, in what concord hath Christ with Belial? Remember, Belial is a false god, so it's a real god and a false god. So should we yoke up Jesus with a statue of Buddha? Okay. He's talking about Christ and Belial. Now, the word concord, C-O-N-C-O-R-D. If you were able to study that word thoroughly, you'd find out. It means an agreement in harmony. In harmony. Now, I don't think this has anything to do with it. The word cord is in there, but it's a harmony. I would recommend to you, if God is saying you should be careful yoking up with wrong friends, yoking up wrong in marriage, I will guarantee you we're going to be okay, saying you better watch the kind of music you yoke up with. If the word concord, and it does have to do with harmony, then, you know, harmony is a part of music, isn't that right? I'll tell you what will destroy you as quick as anything. You start just yoking up with all the country stars and start yoking up with all the rock stars and start yoking up with all the Christian rock stars. Hey, you just start yoking up with all the contemporary people. Can I tell you one of my beefs with contemporary? Check and see what Bible they believe. Check and see what kind of churches they go to. Hey, you might want to check and see what salvation they believe. Okay. Concord. Probably has something to do with music because it's attached in definition to the word harmony. Okay, let's go on. Verse number 15. Another one of the contrasts that the Lord is teaching is verse 15. It said, "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Okay, there's that contrast again. And he said, "What part hath he that believeth with an infidel?" Now the word, you remember the first word was the word fellowship. That's like friends. The second is the word communion. The holiest of intimate unions is marriage. What concord hath Christ with Belial? That probably has something to do with harmony and music. But now it says, what part? What part? That word part is the prefix for the word participation. Participation, it's a part ownership. I think God believes that a Christian business person should only be in business with a Christian business person. Now, could you have lost people work for you? Sure. There's a difference in having someone lost work for you and you sharing the yoke in ownership with a lost person. So, the word part there, it's the word participation. And it's talking about an ownership, a joint ownership. That's probably having to do with business. Let's go on. Go to verse number 16. And the Bible says, "In what agreement hath the temple of God with idols?" Now there's that other contrast, God and false gods, Jehovah God and false gods. Notice this time he uses the word agreement. If you study the word agreement, you would find it literally means someone that votes different than you. It's a different voting. Voting is how you send a signal. Voting, hey, let me tell you something. I'm not going to yoke up with something politically that disagrees with the Bible. I don't want to yoke up with something. I don't even want to yoke up with some religious organization that, when my presence is me casting a vote, I'm condoning it. And so the word agreement has to do with the word vote. When you vote, it is your way of signaling your belief. And so notice the contrasts are believers, unbelievers, the contrast of righteousness, unrighteousness, the contrast of light and darkness, the contrast of Christ and Satan, the contrast of God and idols. He uses the word fellowship with the first contrast, which basically is friendship. He uses the word communion, which is deeper relationship than friendship. It's probably holy matrimony. He uses the word concord with the third contrast, which comes from a word that means harmony, which probably has something to do with the music we listen to. He uses the word part or participation with that contrast between believers and infidels, and that's probably business association. And then verse 16 is the God in idols with the word agreement, which means the casting of a vote. Now, in other words, we're to separate from those who are not like us because of our purposes, our conversations, and not proper agreement with the Scripture or wrong participation. We want to send the right signal to everybody that looks at who we're spending time with. Now, that probably doesn't mean anything to you, but you have just had 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14, 15, and 16 described to you very, very thoroughly. But there's a ton more teaching in those three or four verses. We're not going to get to it all tonight. That's why we're going to have a part two. So tonight, I've told you what is the yoke. I've told you what is meant by unequal. We've looked at the fact that the unequal yoke is dogmatically forbidden for the Christian. Number four, we found that God emphasizes His command of unequal yoke or His command concerning separation with absurd examples, with rhetorical application, outlandish contrast to get us to realize this is a big deal to Him. Then He gives us five even deeper expressions about the unequal yoke, having to do with friendship and marriage and music and business and condoning in our vote things that are not good. I'll make one more point and then we'll be done. If there is an unequal yoke, that means there must be an equal yoke. Philippians chapter 4, verse number 3 says, Paul uses the term true yoke fellow. That sounds like a good sign. The Apostle Paul, who probably was used to pen at least 13 books of the New Testament, I happen to believe that Moses was probably the best Christian in the Old Testament, and other than Jesus, I think Paul was probably the best Christian in the New Testament. And if you don't agree with that, that's fine, but I will tell you this. When Paul referred to somebody as a true yoke fella, and he did that under the inspiration of the Scripture, this is probably somebody that Paul ought to be yoked up with. Wouldn't it be nice if the Apostle Paul would say, this Jeff Owens, this is somebody I'm yoked with. I'd say, yeah. You see my quality, you're a smart man. Well, what a compliment for the Apostle Paul to say that is someone that's true and that's someone that I can yoke up with. Amos 3:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, for we are laborers together with God. Now, if there is an unequal yoke, that means that there is an equal yoke, and the Bible does use the term true yoke fella. And he said, really, how can two people walk together unless they're agreed? Which would mean this, if you're walking with someone that disagrees with the Bible, do you disagree with the Bible? If God said, how can two walk together except they be agreed? I wonder if God looks down and you say, well, I've spent all my time with this person. They disagree with God, but I don't agree with them. God said, you're yoked with them. Please forgive me if I associate you with the false doctrine, because that's the voting signal you're sending by being yoked with them. I'm not going to say it because I want to hurt somebody's feelings, but what used to be a great Christian university asked me to come and preach chapel. Probably would have been 50,000 people available. The only problem is they bailed out on the King James Bible. They used to be Fundamental Baptists, and they sold out and went back to the Southern Baptist Convention. You say, well, did you go? I didn't. You say, that's quite an opportunity. I'd rather be right than be popular. I didn't go. You say, why? I wasn't going to associate with that. I would have been condoning what they are. And I didn't want that. Matter of fact, everybody that would have known that I went there would have said, did Brother Owens give up on the King James Bible? Is he giving up on the old-fashioned Baptist church? Is he going Southern Baptist? And everything that goes along with it. So I couldn't associate because I was told to come out from among them and be separate.
Yes, sir.
Now, if there is an unequal yoke, it means there's an equal yoke. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 and 29, it says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Let me tell you what some of you will struggle with if you're not careful. You say, well, I just feel like I don't have any friends, so I'm with this person that's either terribly backslidden as a Christian or this lost person. Well, God said, take my yoke upon you. So, well, who am I going to spend time with? God? There's nobody for me to spend time with. It didn't make it okay for you to go spend time with the wrong person. So he said, if you can't find a true yoke fellow as a Christian, yoke up with me. You'd be better off that way anyway. You say, why? Well, God won't gossip. You don't have to check on anything that God used on Facebook. Oh, he's not on there. I'm sorry. But next week, we'll talk about the unequal yoke part number two. Because there's a whole concept that's being taught here that I think sometimes people miss. To me, the concept of the unequal yoke and what I'll teach next week is as obvious as the hippopotamus and the giraffe. They just don't go together. So, when you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 through 18, where he says, be ye not unequally yoked together, it is a reference to Deuteronomy chapter 22, verse number 10. And God drives it home with specifics in three or four verses that are very unique and very good for us. I hope somehow you've learned a little something about the unequal yoke and separation tonight. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you're not saved, I'd recommend that you get saved right away. You come, we'll take a Bible and show you how to be saved. Hey, maybe you ought to be thinking a little more about some of your yokes, who you're yoked up with. Your friendships. Look, you won't marry the wrong person if you don't date the wrong person. If they're not saved and right with God, you shouldn't be with them. Point blank. Period. Maybe you need to separate from the wrong yoke in your music. Maybe you need to separate in the wrong yoke in your associations. I hope God spoke into your heart. Who here tonight would say, Pastor, I've learned something, I've been challenged, but I'm willing to apply what I've learned to my life. Would you let God see your hand? God bless you. Lots of hands. You may put them down. We're going to have an altar call. If you need a moment at the altar, we welcome you to come. The pianist will begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you need the altar, you come. Friendships, marriage, music, business, then that voting, that stamp of approval, whether it's political or religious. And if there is an unequal yoke, there's an equal yoke. And if you just can't find anybody that wants to live right or do right, then just yoke up with God. You'll be fine.